Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour number 3 on a Monday. Good to have you in. The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I was just thinking about this, Joy Taylor. So, when I like snacking on peanuts every day. Okay. I have a bag of peanuts every day of the year. It's Planters.
You have a bag of peanuts every day?
Every day. Well, a small bag.
Yeah.
Every day. My dad liked them. For some reason, I got that thing. I like peanuts, right? It's my snack. Salt. So, when I have those peanuts, I know Planters is in the peanut business. Those are high-grade peanuts. And then, right next to my peanuts, the company bought me trail mix. And when I open up those, that bag has got raisins, chocolate chips, and peanuts. They don't taste the same. Those are step peanuts. Those are second-tier peanuts. Mm-hmm. Those are not... Nobody put their arms around those peanuts. So are there peanut farms that are like, oh, Planters farms? And then there's the other one. They're like wine, where you have, oh, that's the best grapes. Right. And that's a cheap vineyard. Because why is it trail mix peanuts... never as good as Planters?
Well, personally, because I read on the internet, I am now a farming expert.
Yeah.
So, sure, the other peanuts are not as good.
So there are peanut farms. When you drive by them, you're like, second-tier peanuts. And then you drive by the Planters, because why do my Planters peanuts are perfectly oiled?
I don't know why the Planters peanuts are better. If I had to make a guess, based just off life experience, some things are better than others.
All right.
Also, maybe because they're in the trail mix, some of the, you know, the dust and like flavors from the other items in the mix have diluted the flavors of the peanuts.
It's got to be it. And I just had some trail mix and I was like, those are second tier peanuts.
Yeah. Let's book a farming expert, guys.
You know what?
We
bring that space guy on once a year.
Tyson. Tyson.
Yeah. We bring him on to talk UFOs.
I watched his masterclass.
How was it?
It was great. It was great. I like learning new things, though. You know, it's so odd.
Crazy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DoorDash here. Get more from your neighborhood at Summer Dash Pass. $10 off groceries, pet food. Dash Pass. Try it for free. Year-round savings. Stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. You know, a lot of people say... well, you can't take much from the preseason. I do not believe that's true. You know, I've said this before, and I can't be the only person who feels this way. I can watch The Voice or American Idol, any of these music shows. I have no musical talent, no musical background. I can, 8 seconds, hack, good, potentially really good. It's not hard. It's not hard. It really isn't. If Aaron Rodgers and I stood next to each other, we had to make one 30-yard throw. You'd be able to tell in one throw, that guy's great, that guy's a terrible guy. I'd be the terrible guy. One play. I can spot bad. A bad restaurant. Bad feng shui. A bad airline. A bad company. I can spot it in 90 seconds. I can walk into a restaurant and be like, feng shui's bad. The service is bad. It's dirty. It's nothing against Spirit Airlines. You walk up and sit in the Spirit Airlines, 10 seconds. You walk on a Delta Airlines, you can tell which airlines got better pilots, got more money, what's better capitalized. It doesn't take a lot of time to see bad or good. Now, it takes a lot of unpacking to tell good from great. Like Jay Cutler, if you sit and watch him make throws, you'd be like, he's great. No, he's good. But he didn't have the commitment or the maturity or the emotional discipline or, you know, certain things that Peyton Manning had. But Jay Cutler had a better arm than Peyton Manning. I would go to my grave. Matt Stafford has got a better arm. I would go to my grave on this probably than Tom Brady or Joe Montana. But what makes great, it's very difficult to go from good to very good to great. That is... you know, it's that Jay Glazer always said, it almost takes a flawed person, an obsessed person. That is going to take me a long time. I'm going to have to read about you. Do I have to meet you? Do I have to watch your personality? But this idea that you can watch, I mean, I'm watching Jacksonville and Cleveland play. I'm 7 plays in and I'm like, Cleveland's got way better backups than Jacksonville's got starters. Like Miles Jack, Jacksonville would start for Cleveland. That's about it, even with backups. So I don't think you have to sit and watch football forever. I watch Baker Mayfield. Became very clear to me early. He needs a lot of time to throw. He needs good players and a good supporting cast to win in this league. He's not good enough to just carry a team. That was very easy. But then, you know, by the way, it's hard to do that. I watched Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck early, and you're like, oh, that's different. They're just better. You know, Eli Manning's good, but he can't carry an average roster. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck were good enough to carry an average roster. You can watch Aaron Rodgers play, and if you'd never seen football, you could watch one great drive with Aaron Rodgers, and you could see how the ball comes out and just be like, oh, that looks different. So, you know, the idea that you can watch preseason and take nothing from it, that's just not true. That is just simply not true. I remember when Tua, remember I liked Tua coming out of college, and then right before he was going to play, I like bailed on it. I said, because I'd seen practice footage and I'd seen, you know, some preseason stuff. And I'm like, okay, he looks smaller than I thought. He's less athletic than I thought. And the play has to be designed perfectly for it to work. I'm out. Doesn't mean he can't win games. Tebow won games, but I'm out. So you can sweep through the headlines sometimes and get a sense. I mean, go on social media now. Go on to CNN.com. Read their headlines. In a lot of instances, it gives you a real strong sense of what the story's about. You read the headline, then the small, you know, the subtext under that, right? You kind of know what the story's about. You can get more depth with it, but the idea that you can't get anything out of preseason, I do not buy. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Colts are hopeful that Carson Wentz will be available for week one.
Aren't we all?
If not, they're relying on second-year player Jacob Eason and rookie Sam Ehlinger to step up in his place. And Frank Reich was pleased with what he saw from both quarterbacks in the Colts preseason opener. He said, looking in their eye, feeling what they feel and what I felt was good for both of them, you don't get that in practice. You get that in a game, and then you see how they respond. It was the best-case scenario for them. If I'm them, I'm looking at the plays I messed up, but they should be proud. I actually thought both of them looked really...
Yeah, one of them's kind of got an it leadership thing. The other one's got a big arm.
They both look competent, though. Yeah. I mean, it's not their job to come in here and be the starter. That's what Carson Wentz is. So you shouldn't expect to see anything like that. But you want somebody who's competent who can step in if Carson Wentz isn't available the first couple weeks of the season. And I feel like the Colts should feel pretty good about that.
And the Colts should also feel good because Quentin Nelson's not playing and either is Eric Fisher. So those are arguably going to be their two of their top three offensive linemen. So do not now the Colts are a team that you should not take a ton out of the preseason because this team is built on their offensive line and they got two of their three best offensive linemen out. And they're not like Quentin Nelson's not just good. He's the best guard in football.
Right.
And Eric Fisher, his replacement currently is not good. So this is a team, when Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson, and Eric Fisher come back.
Yeah, with their full speed, they're going to look a lot different than they
do. Yeah, like this is a team, like just, there are a couple of teams, like we know the Colts are good. We know they're good. They've got an injury bug in one area of their team. Quarterback, left side, O-line, take a deep breath.
Yeah, it's not where you want to have it.
Right.
Ideally an injury bug. Not that there's any, you know, preferred place, but that's a pretty rough way to start the season. But you did want to see, you know, some competency and some poise from those two in the opener. And I thought they looked good for what's being asked of them. So Zach Wilson didn't play much in the Jets' first preseason game, but he showed a little promise with his performance. He went 6 for 9 for 63 yards and looked sharp with the offense. And after the game, Robert Saleh said Wilson's potential is through the roof and they have so much confidence in him, but there's still a lot of opportunities for him to grow. You liked what you saw from him.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't look overwhelmed.
I think what I look for in these preseason games, especially with rookies or guys that we haven't seen anything from, do they look rattled? Are they bailing out in the pocket as soon as they feel
some
pressure?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Are they making egregious throws? Are they throwing low the entire time? Are they overthrowing guys the entire time? If they look poised, if they're making the throws that's being asked of them, and you see one thing, one spark, one good throw, one good run, something there, then that's what you should build on. You can't, to your point, you can't evaluate someone's entire career, but you can see the talent that they have. And like we were talking about earlier, you're not in the NFL if you're not talented. It's a matter of being a balanced player. Do you make good decisions and you have the talent?
He has two great things going for him. Joe Douglas, the general manager, is really competent. Okay, Sam Darnold didn't have that. So they've had back-to-back really good drafts, I believe. The second thing is their defensive line is outstanding and just engulf the Giants. So the Jets' defense is going to shut down a lot of offenses up front. And that means Zach's not going to have to drop 48. So, you know, Baker's first couple years in this league, he had to get in shootouts. That's not what you want. Baker Mayfield now, with the improved secondary, is going to win games 26-23. So Baker, all these quarterbacks are better. Even Big Ben, we found out. They're all better when you don't ask them to save the team. Even Mahomes, I want him throwing 30 times a game, not 42.
Well, you shouldn't be asking your quarterback to save the team every single week. That has a ceiling.
Right.
What you want is to have a quarterback who, in moments, in crucial situations, can do that. Not every single week. Big Ben shouldn't be throwing 50 times 3 weeks in a row. That means you have some serious problems, and eventually someone's going to be able to stop that because it's a one-dimensional system.
Yeah.
So, yes, you want a player that can step up in those big moments and carry the team in when it's necessary, but not every single week. And if you're a rookie, you most certainly shouldn't be asking someone to do that. I think that's what happened with Joe Burrow last year. So Jordan Love looks good in his preseason game with the Packers. Yeah. He completed 12 of 17 passes for 122 yards and a touchdown. He was strip sacked at the end of the first half and was forced to leave the game after straining his shoulder. He got an MRI, which came back clean. And Matt LaFleur, we're showing it here. Matt LaFleur said Love is feeling significantly better now than he did on Saturday, but he will not participate in practice today. So a little bit of a disappointing end to the game there for Love. You really want to see him get through the preseason healthy so you can get as many reps as possible. But I did think he had a good showing. And he's not a rookie, but obviously this is the first time that we've seen him.
Well, it's probably overused. They talk about twitchy. He's a pretty twitchy athlete. He's a big, tall, lean guy. Like Zach Wilson, you know, the ball comes flying out of his arm. Listen, he, even in college, we said, he's an athlete. Like that, there's a reason he got drafted. It's called Patrick Mahomes. Like, you looked at his college tape and you're like, oh, he's big and running around. There's a lot of Trey Lance feel to it, where he looks like the best athlete on the field easily at quarterback.
The only issue with Jordan Love is I wonder what the pressure is going to be on him if Aaron Rodgers ends up leaving. But because of the way that the Packers handle all of this and the drama that has ensued, it might turn up the expectations and pressure on him earlier than it needed be.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah, I really did. I sat there this weekend, and some teams I was, you know. What's really funny is when the Buccaneers got Tom Brady, It's really amazing when you get the quarterback in place. It makes everybody look smarter. I had said this about Bruce Arians. I like Bruce, but he's kind of a cocktails early, easygoing guy. You know, he tried broadcasting. He didn't feel like he was kind of into it. He retired from Arizona. And I said, is he ready for Tom Brady's intensity? And it's worked. It's all worked. But when I watched a little bit of Tampa this weekend, that roster. So we never talked about on this show their general manager, Jason Light. We never talked about him. Brady shows up and he makes all the pieces work. And suddenly you're like, that's not only the best roster in the NFL, they don't even have a weakness. Like Kansas City's good. Buffalo's good. Baltimore's good. But there are units that you're like, kind of suboptimal. Is that when you get the quarterback right, I mean, Pete Carroll went to Seattle. And, you know, he's a big deal at USC, goes to Seattle, and all that stuff. They're 7-9. And they were losing a bunch of kind of competitive close games, and they had Matt Flynn. Russell shows up. Instead of losing by four, they win by four. And now, because the defense doesn't have to be on the field all the time because of Russell Wilson, now you're like, oh, the defense is great. Well, that's because the defense didn't have to be on the field because Russell Wilson was extending plays and giving them enough points, and the Seahawks defense was playing with a lead. And when you have a good defense and they lead, the good defense is even better because then they can pin their ears back. And so, you know, we've said this before. The Colts have done everything right. They just can't get the quarterback right. And you're like, if they do, that's why I think it was imperative that you went out and you go for it with Carson Wentz. Because they got everything else right. They've drafted right. They've been smart in free agency. They got the right coach. The offensive line's good. And there's not many good offensive lines in football. But the Colts are like, we got to go for it. And that's how I feel about San Francisco. I like the GM. I like the coach. I like the O-line. I like the D-line. I like their tight ends. They just got to get this quarterback right. I don't think Trey Lance is ready to do it yet. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is if he can stay healthy. But it does go to show you is that the NFL has built its league. It is so now, and some teams more than others, right? You don't feel like the Niners are quite as quarterback reliant as, you know, the Rams. Well, I'm trying to think. Kansas City, I mean, let's be honest. When you have the world's best play designer in Andy Reid, the quarterback becomes really important. Last year, the Steelers were very reliant on Big Ben. They had no running game. But, you know, a lot of these businesses, you read stories about this all the time. I think we forget that Bill Belichick was 5-11 in New England and he was fired in Cleveland. And then Brady just kind of makes it all work, and now everybody's a genius. And I guess my bigger point is, and football has done this, is that they have become so quarterback reliant because of all the rules. Here's the good news. If you get it right, it just guarantees you're going to be good for a decade. It's almost like the NFL is like, okay, that team's taken care of. Let's cross our fingers on that. The downside is if they get hurt, it just discombobulates everything. And I think the Colts, when I watch them, are the team in the league. They've done everything right. They've got to get the quarterback right. That's why you go out and spend the money on Carson Wentz. Because there's only about one per draft, one kid that comes out per draft who can overcome average. So the whole business of the NFL, as I sat and watched this weekend, is like I watched Trevor Lawrence and my takeaway is, oh, he's fine. Trevor Lawrence is fine. But he can't win with this. He'll win 6-7 games. But the sport has really put it all on the coach and the quarterback. This is what and man, it looks like there's more good quarterbacks than ever. So a couple years ago, everybody was freaking out about the NFL. All CTE, moms aren't letting their sons play football. The NFL, meanwhile, was making the game less violent, more quarterback friendly, and the quarterback position is exploding in America. You watch these camps, you go online, you see these high schoolers, it's like, These guys are only like 4 years away from playing in the NFL, and they're like 6'5", 190. They're skinny, huge arms. It really is. The quality of quarterback talent is absolutely unbelievable. Tony Vaselli is going to join us eventually around the corner. Escape QuickBooks quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system. NetSuite offering one-of-a-kind financing. Go to netsuite.com/herd, H-E-R-D.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Simply Safe, been making people safe at home for 15 years. Get 20% off. Go to simplysafecolin.com. Get your first month free. He's one of the great left tackles I've ever watched play. 7 years in the NFL, cut short by injuries, but five of those he was a Pro Bowler. He was the Jaguars' first pick in franchise history. Now the radio analyst, former NFL offensive lineman, great player, Tony Boselli, joining us live. Still lives in Jacksonville. So let's start with this. Urban Meyer, college coach to pro. Some have done it, but almost none have done it without at least being a position coach in the NFL and understanding the culture of pro football. Urban's a college football guy through and through. From what you see, what do you like? Is there anything that concerns you, Tony?
I love the organization. And I think coming in, and Colin, you're right, you can debate the transition from college to the NFL, how many guys have been successful, not a lot. But the way I look at it, it's all about leadership. Every great organization in this world has great leadership. And the NFL is no different. And one thing that Urban has proven throughout his career at multiple places, at college, he's a great leader. And he's not, you know, he's not an offensive mastermind. He's not a defensive mastermind. Never been a coordinator at the college level even. He's just a leader. And I think you see that, you know, as he's come in from day one of him taking charge and saying, this is who we're going to be. This is how we're going to do things. And he has instant credibility because, remember, this is a super young team.
Yeah.
And it's a team that's had no success, you know, outside of 2017 when they went to the AFC Championship for a long time. And so I think it's hungry. And when you are hungry and maybe almost desperate for change and for success, a guy like Urban Meyer comes in, he has instant credibility. I mean, he's done a good job. They're very organized. You know, he obviously has a detailed plan. You can see it the way they practice at camp. So right now, so far, everything's been positive, but they haven't played a game that counts yet either.
Yeah. Now, Trevor Lawrence, you know, he was 6-for-9. Jags did play some of their starters. Browns did not. We obviously know Cleveland's got an elite roster. Jags don't. What was your, I guess, your interpretation of Trevor Lawrence beginning to end? What did you like? What worries you a little bit or concerns?
I liked his presence. I like how he controlled the situation. The mechanics were sharp. There was no issues of getting in and out of the huddle. He was not rattled. He got hit early. First pass, drop back, he had sacked. But from there, he was never like jumpy in the pocket. And what jumps off the page at you, and you see this in camp too, Colin, is he'll make a couple throws every day in practice. You're like, not very many guys can do that. And you saw a couple big-time throws. And I think it was not a great first preseason game overall because of what you said, playing their starters, Browns playing their backups, didn't go the Jags way. But the one thing you wanted to see is you wanted to see Trevor Lawrence perform and make sure that what you saw on the practice field would translate to the game. And I think for the first preseason game, that was accomplished.
By the way, I said this last week, is that Gardner Minshew's numbers are a little like Baker Mayfield. They played the same offense in college. Their NFL numbers are fairly similar. Now, I think Baker's got a better arm. Is Minshew a starter in this league, or do you look at him as a real capable backup?
I think he's a backup. And I think just his skill set, for a team that wants to compete for the playoffs, let's say this, I think he's a backup. Now, could he be a guy that could come in and start a couple years and transition you to the next guy that was going to take you to be a contender? Sure. But his skill set, his, you know, what he can and cannot do, I think he's a really good NFL backup.
Now, the Tebow story, we don't cover it a lot, but, you know, I said when he got signed, I said, does he understand how hard it is to block in this league? Forget everything else. It's like, it's hard for guys who have been in this league and not gone for 8 years. So I watched all the internet video and everybody's rolling their eyes at him. But in the end, I thought he was more a locker room guy than a a guy that's going to be highly productive. What'd you make of his debut?
Well, I mean, you see it in camp, too. I mean, he struggles to block. And you can say he was a physical quarterback. That's great. Being a physical quarterback is one thing. Being a physical tight end and playing in the trenches and having to block and move people is something that's much more difficult. And he's just not shown a propensity to do that during training camp. He hasn't, and you wouldn't be surprised. He hasn't ever done it in his entire life. And I feel bad that, you know, what we're seeing now has been highlighted on the internet and people taking shots at him. But I think the most telling thing for me, Colin, is he was on zero special teams.
Yeah.
If you want to be a down the line guy who plays tight end, let's say you're the third, fourth tight end on the roster, you better play special teams and you better be good at them. And for him not to be on one special teams, he was the only tight end that did not have any reps on special teams in the first preseason game. I think that's very telling.
You know, you didn't play a long time, but you played with a couple different quarterbacks. And I've said this before, and I ask the pros that come on the show, I say, when it comes to young quarterbacks, you're at practice. I only get to see the games. But there's going to be moments at practice where players in that locker room are going to say, this ain't working, or this is working. Go back to your career. I have somebody connected to the Bears that said Justin was a little lost in the first week or two of practice. And then by the end of it, you're like, guys were like, okay, that's, he's doing stuff. He's making pro guys look stupid. What should I look for from a Zach Wilson, a Trey Lance, where I go, that's going to work, or I'm not sure that's going to work in this league?
Well, I mean, take away just the physical attributes, Colin, I think, which we all can see with the big arm and the athletic ability, which most of these young guys coming out have. They can win with their feet. One of the things that I always watch for is how they handle the pressure in the pocket. Are they able to stand tall? Do their eyes stay up? Can they operate when there's traffic around them? And I think that really early, you can tell if a guy's going to struggle, if his feet start moving, his eyes go down. I start worrying about that because I think that's hard to coach out of a guy.
Right.
Because that's a presence. You know, Tom Brady can't, you know, I think I might be able to beat him in the 40-yard dash, and I can't run to save my life. But there's something about him in the pocket where he is so calm and just subtle movements and able to look down the field and make a play. And you have to win from the pocket if you want long-term success in this league. Not that running isn't valuable and having that threat, which all these young guys can do, very valuable. But I still think it's a game for the quarterback. You have to operate from the pocket. So those young guys, I watch that. And you can't get that in practice. It's hard to tell because they're not getting hit. You can tell the mental side of it. How do they pick up things? What kind of mental capacity do they have? You can see the athletic ability. You can see the arm strength. You can see accuracy. You can judge all that during practice. But the telling sign to me, the difference between the great ones, the good ones, and the guys who just can't do it, is how well you operate from the pocket.
Yeah. Zach Wilson was pretty good in the pocket. He had a muddy pocket, and he just stood, and he's not a big guy, and that was the one thing I looked at and thought, you know what, he's confident in there. It's okay. Some guys just don't want to get hit. Some guys are comfortable. Trent Dilfer always says that. A lot of guys just don't like to get hit. You know, I totally see that. Okay, finally, the preseason, it's a lot of the young coaches – culturally, Tony, are like, I'm not playing my starters. McVay, LaFleur, the old guys, Tomlin, Belichick, Reed, Rivera. I thought it was funny this weekend. A lot of the old coaches, they're playing the guys. So where do you land on that? If I gave you an NFL job today, what do you make of the preseason? It feels like McVay's a Pied Piper for the young coaches, and Belichick and Reed are kind of the old guys are like Mike Tomlin. You're going to take some snaps. Bruce Arians, you're going to take some snaps. Where do you land on that?
I land on taking snaps. I think football is a game of repetition. Now, are there certain guys I would be comfortable holding out? Let's use the Rams. Aaron Donald. I don't think he needs reps. I think he's – and by the way, it's not a timing. It's an individual game for him. It's can he beat the guy across from him?
Right.
We know that. But if it's a quarterback, a receiver, I think an offensive lineman, where it's coordination – where you're speaking, you have to communicate, you have to be on the same page, the timing between quarterback, receivers. I get him reps. I don't think you need to give your star running back a bunch of reps because how many hits do you want him to take? And guess what? Running is instincts. It's all about instincts. But quarterbacks, receivers, offensive line, I'm playing them. I probably want to give some young my secondary some reps to get a feel for each other. I just think there's only so much practice you can cut out, which we've cut out a lot of it. And then you start cutting out preseason. Well, the game, the product's going to be impacted somewhat,
yeah,
somehow. And I go with the Belichicks and the Reeds and the Tomlins of this world because that's how you get better. Practice. I mean, no one loves practice. No, I hated preseason. I hated training camp. It was miserable. But I wanted to be good, and that's how you get better. Is practicing your craft.
Yeah, I bet that Jacksonville summer practice was a real dream for you down there.
Oh, Colin, I was having this conversation with a guy on the sidelines, and I looked at the practice schedule for the Jaguars, how many padded practices they had, and what you really would consider camp, like we did in the old days. I think we would have had the same amount of practices padded in the first 6 days that they would have all of camp. I mean, we used to go 2 days, full pads, both practices, and the game's changed. And I think as a player, I'd probably like that.
Tony, great seeing you again. Congrats to you, the fam, your business. Good luck to the Jags. We'll be watching every Sunday.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Tony Boselli, all-time great left tackle. So we're going to play up, down, sideways. We do this occasionally when we want to grade like athletes. So we had all these young quarterbacks play. Do I think they were better than I thought, pretty much what I thought, or a little less than I thought?
All right, let's start with Trevor Lawrence. Up, down, or sideways?
Well, I thought it was sideways. He's the hardest guy to evaluate because his team's bad. I mean, Cleveland played backups. Jacksonville played starters. They still couldn't move the ball. But he was 6-for-9, didn't have a pick, stayed in the pocket, passer rating of 91. Got, you know, again, he looks the part, but it's hard to evaluate because I think they only have one starter that would start for Cleveland.
Zach Wilson.
Almost up, I'd say sideways. I knew he could move, and I knew he had a lively arm. So that, and I also, I will say this. Their offensive line's not there yet, but it's a real offensive line. And they've got real, they got real people. Like, that play right there is a nice play by him. He sits in the pocket. He's going to get hit. Now, the Giants played backups. So you got the Jets playing some of their starters. The Giants' defense was backups. Little context here. But, you know, I knew he had a good arm, and he showed his good arm. So give me another start against another team because I couldn't take a ton from it. The story of this game was the Jets' D-line just engulfed the Giants' O-line. That was the whole game to me.
Trey Lance.
Down a little bit. I mean, all we heard how great he was in practice, and in the end, he could have had a couple of balls intercepted. Listen, he had one big-time throw. That's a great play.
I thought the reaction to him was really positive.
Well, but when you start looking at the numbers, 5 of 14, he end of the first half, he had two balls that could have been intercepted. I'm not doubting the talent. He just needs a lot of reps. Last 580 days, he's completed 20 passes. So I think we just need to slow. Maybe my down should be slow down.
Slow down. Justin Fields.
Up. Again, he's not working with much here. They just signed Jason Peters. They drafted two offensive linemen. This is not a good offensive line. He's got one star receiver, a talented but young. I mean, that's a nice throw up the sideline. He also right now is in a space where he's going to move a lot because he doesn't trust his protection. But I don't think anybody could watch that. I mean, now this first, he didn't get a first down in the first several drives. Well, that's because Miami is well-coached, disciplined, and they don't give up a lot. So Miami doesn't give stuff up over the top generally. So you had to get to Miami's third-string defense where there were lapses. So I think he's a hard grade, but he throws such a nice ball, and he's so athletic, and he never looks – he's very poised. He keeps his – like right there. He's just – here, even when he jogs in for a touchdown, he's got a sense of kind of everybody where it's at. So I think it's an up.
Mac Jones.
Up. I thought for what they're asking him to do, he did a great job. 13 of 19. They design a game plan. Listen, they're not going to ask him to throw a lot of deep balls.
Right.
Why? They don't have a lot of deep threats. So I think he ran the offense efficiently. Again, when I looked at his feet, never nervous. He wasn't anxious at all. Justin Fields, you know, a little bit early. Trey Lance and Justin, you could tell. They had to get their feet under him. But I thought Mac was up.
Jordan Love.
Up. I thought he was – now, again, he had a lot of drives where he was three and out. But in the end, I like how he drives the ball. He wasn't afraid to throw the ball right down the middle of the field, which can be a more dangerous place. I think the Packers set him up for success. He was 6-for-6 for 90 yards on the scoring drive, so he showed composure. That's a really nice throw right there. I think it was up. I mean, I he's Bigfoot. I'd never seen any footage, so I had nothing to base it on. But he was better than I thought he would look.
Tim Tebow.
Down. So he never caught a ball. Tony Boselli stole my thunder. He can't block. And he's a blocking tight end. So he didn't play a single play on special teams. That's where he's going to make his money in this league. So my primary, you know, I remember when he signed, I had a former NFL coach just laugh, said, a quarterback is going to transition to blocking tight end. Does he have any idea the kind of athletes he has to block in the NFL on the edge? They're like the best. I mean, the average end is 6'4 and a half, 265, and quick, 4'6. So Tim can't block. And that's what he needs to be. He's not a vertical tight end. He's not going to get open. That's not what he's going to be. Navien, tankless water heater. Very good 15-year warranty, local rebates. All right, those are my opinions today.
I thought you were very measured for a preseason weekend we were very excited about.
Fair. Like, Jet fans are like, whoa, how is Zach Wilson not up? The up is your defensive line. The Jets are going to win games because they'll never have to be in shootouts with that D-line. See you tomorrow.